Hey, questers, what's up? It's Rory Washington. A little housekeeping. First of all, I want to say congratulations. So many great things happening. A lot of people out here doing big things. And I'd like to say congratulations to my little sister, Ariana Washington. Preached her first sermon today. I'm so proud of her. Talk about trusting the Lord, trusting in God. And a great sermon. She's off to a great start, you know, serving the Almighty and changing lives and being effective in the Christian gospel community. So congratulations. And we're on the other side of 40 now as far as shows, and we're steaming ahead. We're going to keep on doing this, keep on going, keep on building, keep on networking, keep on building with it. Whoever else wants to build with us, it's nothing but positive vibes, nothing but trying to do the right thing and just bring a little knowledge, a little healing, some laughs, some love to our community, because we need it. So shout out to everybody who's been with us for the first 40. I kind of figured this is season two. It's been a year. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to move. Ain't nothing stopping us. Today, Mark Whaley, Tony Whaley Sr., you know, he's going to be speaking on love and forgiveness, relationships, you know, and how, you know, holding on to, you know, being upset and being disgruntled with somebody and holding on to that mess can poison your soul. You know, we can agree to disagree. At the end, we're still family. At the end, we're still friends, whatever. Let's squash it and let's move on. So many other things we're doing out here to be holding on to grudges. So love and forgiveness. Mr. Whaley coming right up. So shout out Brother Moss. Shout out Lenard Robinson Sr. Shout out to Whaley, Brother Greer, the Lewises, the Gladneys, the Washingtons, Clinton Twins, what up? D Black and Eyes on the West Coast, what's going on? Young Bully, Lucy Liu, Chico Benolo, that kid Demo Payne, Nonchalant, FSFL, Forever Savage, Forever Loyal, what up with y'all? Jay Neezy, Von Anderson, The Truth, B to S, Jason McCord, was good? And the big fella, DJ Dre Dilla, what's good? We're shooting for another 40, like I said. Got momentum. Everyone's doing their thing. It's good to see people out here doing it. And ain't no stopping us, y'all. This is The Quest. If you haven't realized it by now, we got you locked in. I'm Will Washington. Ain't no stopping us. On to another 40, baby.
Stop it.
All right, everybody, how y'all doing out there? This is Tony Whaley Sr. And I have a topic I want to discuss today. It's called love and forgiveness. So, you know me, I like to start everything off with prayer. So I'm going to be brief with a prayer. Bear with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for another day that you have blessed us, waking us up this morning, holding in our right mind, giving us the activity of our limb, giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Lord, protect us through the night and keep us through the day. Lord, we ask that you let this program come off pleasantly and as you would desire it to be, Lord. Lord, we are careful to give you the praise, and we ask that you bless everyone that's listening, bless our families, our friends, our loved ones. Lord, bless every relationship that is going through a struggle right now. Bless it to come out pure as gold. And Lord, all these things we ask of you in Jesus' name, because you said you would do it. So Lord, we thank you, we give you praise, and we give you glory, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to talk about love and forgiveness. And a lot of times we don't know how to love a person enough to forgive them. And a lot of times we grow to hate a person. And if you don't understand that, if you don't forgive them, God doesn't forgive you. A lot of times we gotta learn how to forgive, because forgiveness works better for us, because when we forgive, that means we're able to let go. And whatever that thing is doesn't hold us bound to a situation or to a person. Because that situation keeps us bound and keep us weak and keep us under control, because our emotions are out of whack because of that thing. Our whole life is halted because of something that we're holding on to that we need to let go. Because the person that you're not forgiving, they're still moving on. But you're holding on to something. And it's bothering you. I mean, to be honest, that's a stress there. That when you see people with these ulcers and all these things that's going on, stress-related illnesses, sometimes it's just simply they need to forgive, let go, and move on.
Right.
Let that situation go. Because do it like God does us. When God forgives us of something, he say he put it as far as the east is from the west. And that's a real long way. And then he remember it no more. So sometimes we just have to let go of something. Forgive and forget. Let go and let God. Because God, whatever somebody has done with us, once we let it go, then God has control over that situation. He'll deal with the part. He said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. You let it go. Whatever it is you have, let it go. Give it to God. Don't you look for revenge. Don't you look to let that thing bother you. Forgive the person and let God deal with it from that point. You know, and I'm going to tell you, even in my personal life and some friends I know, even in my marriage before my wife passed away, there were things that could have destroyed our marriage, because it took us to understand and forgive each other for certain things. Because everything isn't going to always be perfect. But forgiveness is the key. And when you can forgive and continue to love, see, love helps you to forgive. If you really love somebody, you can forgive them. You know, love forgives. You know, and I think about, if we go into the Bible, God, the reason he sent Jesus to die for our sins was because he loved us so much. He had to find a way that forgave us and redeemed us back to him. Because there is consequences for your actions, but forgiveness is the key. And for God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son that we could be redeemed back to him. Now, a lot of people read that scripture wrong. They say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish. But it doesn't say shall not. It says should not perish, but have everlasting life. What that is saying is, because God loved us so much, he took every precaution to give you an opportunity. And you have no reason to perish at that point. If you perish, it's not because he didn't do what he said. If you perish, it's because you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
Right. It's not a shall not, it's a should not, which means there's no reason for it. But that's how much he loved us. But because he gave man free will, they still have a choice to make in that. The other thing is, you look throughout the Bible, Jesus, while hanging on the cross, he did the ultimate forgiveness. And he did the ultimate act of love with him dying for our sins. But before he died, while they were piercing him and cursing him and beating him, he said to God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's forgiveness, ultimately. Because he told him, said, if I wanted to, couldn't I call my father? He sent legions of angels. That means a whole lot. And they would have rescued him from that. But because he loved us so much and he wanted that forgiveness for us, he stayed on that cross. Let's look at a couple of natural situations in there. When Joseph and Mary, they were promised to marry. Mary was a virgin. When Joseph came to her, she was pregnant. But he loved her and forgave her. He wasn't going to stay with her. Forgiveness don't always mean stay with the person.
Okay.
But he was hurt, and he was ready to but he forgave her. Because other than that, he could have publicly put her out to pasture and let everybody know she done cheated on me and she done got pregnant by somebody else. But he didn't do that. He went along with the program and was going to privately put her away so she wouldn't suffer any shame. Because he loved her enough to forgive her and let go of that, what that situation was. But the angel told him, don't even do it. Because the child that she carried is the child of the Holy Ghost. She was carrying God's son. She didn't cheat on you. She ain't been with another man. But when Mary said, how am I going to do this? I don't even know a man. They let her know, God going to put it in you. That's how that's going to happen. The thing is, in that way of thinking for Joseph, that was him saying, I love you, but you hurt me. But I'm going to forgive you. But we can't go through with this marriage because you've been with another man. But he loved her enough to forgive her and let it be and just put her away privately so she wouldn't be a skeptical spectacle. Sometimes when we love a person so much and then when they hurt us, we turn our back on them. There is a time that love and forgiveness have to come to that middle point where you can say, I love you so much, but you've hurt me this deep. I can no longer be with you, or I can no longer deal with you, but I'm gonna forgive you and I'm not gonna put you out there like that. I'm not gonna try to hurt you back. I got Brother Roy Washington here with me, and I'm gonna see if I'm gonna let him chime in on a little something here.
Well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hold on to things. And like a lot of times that can be poison or cancer in your life and you don't close the chapter. Can you talk about that as far as like just not forgiving and just hold on to a lot of resentment? And like you said, that person has already moved on with their life.
And see, like you say, that's a cancer in your life, and a cancer spreads. If it's not cut off at the root, it starts to spread. If a woman that I loved hurts me so much and I can't forgive her, I'm just using it because it could be anything, then every woman that follows behind her is going to keep paying for that mistake. And once I ruin that woman, the next man that comes after me is going to be ruined by her. So once you finish with her, you go on to the next woman and you can't love her because you haven't gotten over the last woman and forgiven her. Then the next woman gets the same treatment. So you've just messed up Three more women, and the next man that come in their life, she's going to ruin those three men. Those three men are going to ruin somebody. You start a chain effect with
them. You know what?
So if I forgive from the beginning, there's no rippling effect. There's no cancer, because I've killed the cancer at the head, and there's nowhere for it to spread to me.
Okay.
Brother Robinson, I have a question.
I'm finna intervene on this conversation because it has something to do with a conversation I had earlier today with an ex-wife of mine. And she was talking about her relationships. She said she never healed from me and her being divorced for 20 years. She said, I never healed from our relationship. See, I went to another relationship and another one. She said, now, after 20 years later, she said, now she wants to sit still. She didn't want no relationship. You know what I'm saying? Because she said, I never hear from you. Wow. She said, what I did, I just got into another relationship.
Okay.
And she said, when that one went bad, in between time, she got into another a relationship.
Okay.
So this conversation was hit home. I was just talking to her like 7 o'clock this morning, and I didn't know what this episode was going to be about. So that's go along a lot with you, Brother Whaley was saying,
okay,
about healing. She said, I have to heal. She said, I never heal from one relationship before I jumped into another one.
Right.
I just jumped into another one and another one and another one. And she said after about 3 or 4, she realized that she had to stop and heal herself. Stop and think about self. You know, because you get involved with a person that you've been involved with so long, you and the other individual, you know, it's all about them. So even after they leave the relationship, and you still thinking like that.
Okay.
And so I'm so glad Brother Mark Whaley is saying what he's saying today about healing, right, yourself after you, I don't know, saying, I came in the middle of this really episode,
right,
but that's why
I'm a member of the round table.
No, yeah.
We also have Brother Reggie here. Sitting here chilling.
And,
but you know what? You know, a lot of times I tell people, you know, sometimes they get out of a bad relationship or whatever, and they want to jump right into something else.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's healthy just to, you know, spend that time by yourself with God for a while. And, you know, heal properly instead of jumping right into something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And that's what she was trying to explain. And she like, and she's 47 years old now.
Right.
And she just figured that out.
Okay.
She said, after me and you get separated and divorced,
mm-hmm,
I just jump. She said, I never healed myself.
Okay.
I never sat back and took a deep breath.
Okay.
You know, and I did because, you know, I just came off a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Even my other half is married right now.
Right.
Because I don't think she even took a deep breath, but she was married. No, I'm still me, but the last relationship I was in, the other half didn't get married already.
Okay.
So that's what we mean. You need to stop
That's part of healing process. Is
and heal yourself.
I'm on a personal relationship of my own. My I had dated, but I was young. I was probably about 18, 19. You remember Lonnie, Reggie, don't you? That was, I had been with other girls, but this was the one I fell in love with. And we had, it was a 2-year relationship. When we broke up, I was hurt. And so every woman that I dated after that, they had to deal with that hurt. I was like, I didn't want to tell a woman I loved them. And if I felt myself falling for them, I'd walk away real quick.
Okay.
And when I got saved, I wanted to be married, but I didn't want to love anybody. I didn't want to marry nobody that I loved because I was still hurt. I still hadn't let go of her. I still hadn't forgiven everything that happened. And to be honest, I really, forgiving her wasn't something that I needed to do. It was me that needed to forgive us. I'm the one messed up, you know. Well, you know, you was there. Yeah, my brother Reggie Wade is here. He's chiming in a minute. And so my wife that I did eventually marry, when I met her, and it was kind of funny, I should have known her years before I did, and I didn't, because our families were close and me and her never met. But when I met her, we became friends. We built up a line of trust, we built up communication, everything about us, and it slowly but gradually turned into where I started to forgive. Basically, the reality was, I didn't need to forgive my girlfriend, I needed to forgive me. Because I had messed up and I was hurt and I was mad at her for it. So I started to forgive myself for my own mistakes, the things that I had done that caused that. And I started to forgive myself and I started to not feel that need anymore to be with her because I messed up, so I needed her back because I had messed up. So I started to forgive myself, and as I started to forgive myself and let go of things, because my father had told me before, the way to get over lost love is to feel, is to love again. But how do you love again when you're still holding on to that love or holding on to that pain or that anger or that forgiveness that you haven't let go of? So I can say this, my wife got me through that without even trying or knowing what she was doing. And then one day, I just knew I love this woman. And when I proposed to her, it wasn't even intentional. It just, when I started to speak, the words just started to come natural. And she started crying and said yes. And at that point, I realized what I had did. I had just proposed and wasn't even paying attention to myself. And we went through our time, ups and downs. We had to forgive for a lot. Well, mostly she had to do most of the forgiving because I was young and an idiot. I wasn't cheating, but I was doing stupid stuff. And I was not doing what I was supposed to do. I was getting mad, being like a little spoiled brat. But we always made it through. And when we did our wedding invitations, it, on there it said, "Today I married my friend," because we had been friends before we got into all the other stuff. And we had a strong relationship. We had six children together. Well, we had six children that we raised because she had two daughters that I have never called anything except my daughters. And I had one son that she never called anything other than her son. And then we had three together. So we always said, when somebody said, "How many kids you got?" It was always six, you know? And when she passed away, I had lost my mother and my father before that. And you know, that's a hurting pain to lose your parents, especially when they've been out your whole life. I had an uncle who was like another father to me. And man, I was crazy about them. All of them had passed away on me. It was hard for my life. But all three of those, and my grandmother, all four of those deaths combined could not compare to the hurt that I felt when I lost my wife. But the strange part about it is, I didn't revert back to that, "I'm so hurt, I can't love again." Because I have forgiven myself before her. She taught me how to love again without regret, without fear. And so I've been in that place in my life since then. I met my current fiance a couple of years after my wife died, because at one point I refused to date. I didn't want to date. I just wanted to wait till the kids get old enough so I could just die. But all of that changed one day. And so now I don't love with fear anymore. And I know if love doesn't work, I can forgive. I can let go of whatever it was that took me to that point. And when I move on, I move on. And I know not to move on too fast. I'm not going to buy you and then go next woman, you know. But I'm gonna let my brother chime in here. Reggie Whaley, you want to introduce yourself? Or
my brother, my name is Reggie Whaley. What's your name?
Nobody's there.
This is Quest Radio.
Quest Radio, we just talking.
So, I just want to say, God said to err is human, but to forgive is divine. So you got to have forgiveness in your heart, because if you don't have forgiveness, it can bring about anger, mm-hmm. and rage. And when rage comes around, it's always a potential somebody getting killed.
Right.
So you have to have forgiveness in your heart. Mm. You have to.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I just want to say that little piece.
All right. Have you you ever had a situation when you that left you hurt that you had to? Have you ever had a situation where you struggled to forgive?
My oldest son, she hurt me so bad. I mean, and I just, for a long time, I couldn't forgive her, but in time, I thought about, I had to forgive her. Now, we like the best of friends.
Okay, good.
The best of friends.
All right.
Yeah, you got to have forgiveness. You have to. You got to have that agape love.
There you go.
You know, it makes me think, my mother's first cousin, well, they call themselves sisters, so she was an auntie to me. Her second oldest son got killed in the street by a police officer. And this was back in, what, the 70s or 80s?
Okay.
And as hurt as she was a God-fearing woman, beautiful woman, God. She forgave that police officer. He even came to her house. She forgave him. Something that I couldn't have done at that point. He'd have walked through my door, they'd have carried him out on a stretcher like my son went out. But she forgave him. She was hurt, she cried, and she forgave him for it. That to me is, that shows you how strong the love of God could be in a person. Because how can you take my child and I forgive you? I cried over my child, did all that, but now I'm forgiving you. Because I'm not going to hold it to my child. But when I meet God, I want my slate clear.
Right.
And that's how she did it. Her slate was clear when she went.
It's only part of the Bible where he's talking about how you say you love me, but you know, you have love for your neighbor you see every day.
Yeah. How can you say you love Jesus, God, who you've never seen, but you hate your brother whom you see daily?
Right.
You're a lie. Mm-hmm. Because how can you love me you haven't seen, but you can't love your brother? How can I say I'm asking God for something that I won't give? That's why in the prayer it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us, and we forgive our debtors. Because he said, if you don't forgive your brother, neither will God forgive you. Because Peter actually said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus said, not seven times, but seven times, 70 times seven.
Yeah.
What he was saying is, you endlessly forgive. You don't forgive today, hold the next words. Now, the thing is, he never said you got to trust him again, but you got to forgive him.
Mm.
If somebody steals from you once, you forgive them, and they come back again, they steal from you again, you forgive them, but you don't leave your stuff around them to steal again.
Right.
Things that you have to understand about forgiveness is sometimes forgiveness means giving a second chance. It doesn't mean giving you a third and fourth chance always. It just means I forgive you, but now I gotta still guard myself. I'm not gonna hate you, but I'm gonna keep guard. I'm gonna keep my watch. I'm not gonna let you continue to hurt me or do things to me. You know, if you have someone that every time you open your door, you open your heart to them, they do something to hurt you, then yeah, you need to walk away from that person. But you gotta walk away with forgiveness, because you can't, because you walk away with them and you still mad and haven't forgiven them, guess what? You didn't walk away. They still with you. They could be 1,000 miles away, but they still right there with you. Good, right. Forgive them, give it to God, let them deal with it, what they did wrong. They may one day call you and apologize. They may never call you and apologize, but no matter what it is, it's not on you anymore. Because by the time they call you an apology, you're like, oh, I don't really let that go. I'm glad you called an apology, but I don't even remember it no more. My life is moving smooth because I let where I left you at, that's where I left you at. I didn't carry you with me into my next relationship. I didn't carry you with me into my life down the road. I didn't carry you with me into anything that I did in my life because I didn't need that burden in my life. I had to let you go so that I could move forward. Because if you don't forgive, you're carrying a burden. You're carrying that person with you for the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you like this. They can be dead and they still alive because you carry them around. Because you haven't forgiven them and let them go. And here's another thing to think about. If you love somebody and y'all fall out, you don't forgive them. Here's the thing. You still love them, but you haven't forgiven them. And if they leave here before you have a chance to forgive them, you have more guilt on you at that point.
Right.
I never did go back and forgive him. I never did let him know that I still love him. I never did. And you had that resentment and that guilt because you can't go back and do it now that they're gone. When something happens, you need to take care of that right then and there and keep on moving. That way you have no resentment, no regrets, no bad conscience, no guilt feeling, because everything you were supposed to do, you did it while they were here. So you don't carry them with you.
You are listening to The Quest, Love and Forgiveness, featuring Tony Whaley, Reggie Whaley, Roy Washington, and Lennar Robertson. We'll be right back.
Now back to our conclusion. Love and forgiveness on the quest. We've got you locked in.
It's Roy Washington. Sitting here with the Whaley brothers. You're locked into the quest. We had a situation this morning. It's kind of, you know, we went to the store, right? Me, Brother Rob, Lonnie. And, you know, they had this outside the store, they had this stand. And it was like some people, this is some fundraiser. And I was going to go over there. Then I found out it was for the police. You know, and I kind of made a little joke about it. But we talked about forgiveness, and we having all this stuff with the police now. Had another incident. Brother got shot, killed. How would you say we should deal with this situation as far as our feelings with the police? I mean, I know every one of them isn't bad, but I'm sorry. I do have a certain feeling when I see them now.
Now, see, that goes back to forgiving but not trusting or not letting it go. But even in that area, you still got to forgive. Mm-hmm. But now you got to look for a solution to stop it from don't let it continue to happen. Mm-hmm. Like they got that thing going now, no funding without training. You got to, without de-escalation training.
Right.
Police, you know, like you said, not all of my bad.
Right,
but like my brother said earlier, without forgiveness, rage comes in.
Right.
And you got to think, if I hate the police so much, I don't forgive them for something that they've done. So rage is going to come in, I'm going to be ready to shoot at the police. But when I shoot one of them, then they're going to come at 10 of us. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go back and get 10 of them, and they're going to get 100 of us.
Right.
For every one that we take, they're going to take 10. So if I don't de-escalate this, if I don't forgive them,
right,
and say, now let's move on with our lives, but we need to do something so this doesn't continue to happen. Because if it continues to happen, we're going to fight back. And when we fight back, there's too many people that's dying because of one person's mistake. One person did something stupid. We forgive you, but we need you off the force.
Right.
And we need your partner to be trained how not to do what you did.
Brother Reggie, what's your feelings on that? I mean, your personal feelings.
Pretty much just what he said, you know, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, not all officers are bad. So it's a lot of trust issues between officers and regular citizens.
Especially black.
Yeah. But you have to find a way to meet, you know, that common ground.
Okay.
And then, you know, it can be stopped.
Right.
But you have to work with one another.
Right.
Because there's no trust. There's no trust. And without trust, there's nothing.
When they had that riot over there, when they burnt down all that stuff,
right,
and they was telling us in my job we couldn't go in certain areas. The police would be close to the ground. Now, it used to be when the police were around or riding by me, I feel a little more safe. But then they had us riding doubles, you know, for safety. And we pulled up and there was a police right there. And the person I was riding with, they were driving. If I ain't got to drive, I don't want to drive. I was like, we need to get away from them. And she said, yeah. I said, you know, the police make me feel safe. But right now, I don't want to be anywhere near, because when they shoot at them, we in the crossfire. Like, we need to get up out of here fast. The thing is, if they get things the way they should be, nobody should fear the police like that.
Right.
We should respect them. When we were younger, we were taught, don't talk to strangers, and if you're in trouble, run to the police.
Right.
Now, our kids are being taught, run away from the police. Because this guy want to shoot you. When you run to the police, he's going to shoot you before he find out that you're coming to hell. So there needs to be some training for the police. You know, my daughter, when she was going to college, all the stuff that was going on with, you know, and she was leaving for college, and my wife, I told her, you know, stay out of trouble, always know your way you got into. My wife said, the police get behind you to pull you over to someone, and it's the dark out there, don't stop. And I told her, I said, don't try to outrun them. Don't do no speed. But I told him, I said, but until you find a lit place, with people there, a gas station or something, and he's called for backup. Because that's the thing, if you don't stop for the police, he's gonna call for backup. If you don't call for backup, he was up to no good anyway. Probably ain't even the real police, but there's something like that faking. Mm-hmm. But wait for him to call for backup. When a whole group of police show up to pull you over, then that's when you stop.
Okay.
And a police got behind her, sure enough, to try to pull over, and she wouldn't stop. Because she knew she wasn't doing anything, she was driving a speed limit or whatever. And she got, and all these other police came, and she pulled up into the gas station, and they're like, why didn't you stop when you pulled me over? She said, because my mama told me not to. Because she was out there by herself, you know. And they're like, they said, well, we just wanted to tell you, I think her backlight wasn't working or something. They were just trying to let her know. You know, but the thing is, she did what she was told. But the thing is, she shouldn't have had to be afraid of the police pulling over.
Right.
Because it should have been always safe.
You know, this is a great topic you're speaking on today. I just want to reiterate, no, I don't think all police are bad. You know, I mean, I know there's some good ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's good, some good and bad in every crowd, you know. So, just wanted to reiterate on that. I just don't know how I would be able to take losing a loved one to some of that foolishness out there. It's black on black out there as well. You know, so I don't know how I would be able to take somebody taking the life of one of my loved ones unjustly.
But you know what? I've seen some of these mothers, their children were killed unjustly.
Right.
They didn't want any riots, they didn't want anything. Some of them even forgave the police officer, but they wanted justice for the child. But then you got these that, like with this riot, nobody was saying forgive and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, the young man, the body camera showed the man had a gun on him. He had the body, you know, he had the body camera on. Now, everybody's going with the fact that the man that he shot in high school, they had some beef. And who knows, it may have been a personal thing between the two of them. But the fact that that man pulled a gun and he had already tried to outrun the police in his car. Who knows why he was trying to outrun him, but he was trying to outrun him. He jumps out and runs. He don't throw his gun or nothing like that. He's running with the gun and then he turn around. Whoop, you know. Now I'm gonna tell you, like, if I got a beef with somebody back in high school, and I don't even know it's them I'm pulling over, but if that person, he had a beef on his, like, and then all of a sudden when I catch up to him, he turned around with a gun, yes, I'm sorry, but I would have to defend myself right out the back, because I know there's been a beef between me and this person, excuse me, for the longest. We've never liked each other, and that's true, but I didn't know who it was I was chasing until he got out.
Right.
And when he got out, he gets out with a gun, yeah, I know he wants to shoot me when he sees me. He don't like me now, then I can just pull him over. He really mad at me. So yeah, I would defend myself in that case. But the thing is, that was a time that people did just the opposite of what they should have done. And the thing escalated more than it should have. Innocent people got hurt. Innocent people, I mean, they burning down gas station, they're destroying their own, and that's the thing, I'm gonna say about our people anyway, when we get upset about something, and somebody has made us mad, and we get outraged, we're not even thinking forgiveness, we destroy our own self,
right.
We destroy our own community, we destroy our own, we take away our own peace, because then they had to put a curfew in effect, so that took away. We had to watch everything we do. They done took away our own peace. We got a gas station, and that gas station they just went down to being under $2.
Mm.
It was the only one over there. You just took away us the low price gas from. We just destroyed our own, and we destroyed our own neighborhood. Other houses then caught on fire because of that. We almost getting under martial law, where we got the state taking over the city because we decided to destroy ourselves.
Right.
That our people don't think first. Because sometimes you think you'll forgive.
Hmm.
And sometimes, and I mean, I have family. And I ain't gonna lie, I got a lot of thugs in my family.
Oh yeah.
If something was to happen to one of them, yes, I would be hurt. But I hope I wouldn't feel that need to go out and retaliate, because it's like, they made a choice in their life, and they did something that caused something to happen to them. They called themselves to be locked up for forever. They called themselves to be shot. Whatever it is, they put themselves in that lifestyle. And that's the funny part about us. These boys that got killed innocently, with their hands in the air, stuff like that, they got killed. Their parents were raising them, and their parents are not, they're the first advocate to say, don't retaliate this way. We need to do it peacefully.
Okay.
But somebody who, you know your kid is a, you know this boy or young man is a thug, criminal, and all that. Mm-hmm. And no, nobody wants to see. But when they've chosen that lifestyle and something happens, we've got to take responsibility or take knowledge to know that they were responsible for what happened in their life. A lot of times, the reason everybody wants to retaliate is because they actually feel the responsibility for it. My son turned out this way, and we don't want to admit it's us, but inside of us, we failed him, so now we got to fight back. I'm a family member, and I didn't try to get them out of that, so we want to retaliate. It's our friend. We weren't there to protect them. We want to retaliate. It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. It's their fault. Because they're old enough to make the decision to do it. Then they're old enough to deal with the consequences. We still have to learn to forgive, love that person and miss them. Now, if my son is 10 years old, mm-hmm. and I'm the one out there handing him guns, teaching him how to do this, and got all that like that on Facebook, got these little kids holding up guns, putting up pitchforks, and putting up different gang signs. Well, the problem with that is, yeah, you are in front of somebody out there and happened to him at 12 or 13, because you raised them to do that, and you sent them out there to do it. I have a friend. He's high ranking in the gang. He never wanted his kids in the gang. When his son decided, that's what he was going to do. His father wouldn't do it, his mom wouldn't do it. He went out of his father's jurisdiction and did it anyway with somebody else. Here's the problem. His father said, I love him. I didn't want to do it. But whatever happens, he's made the wrong choices. His father understood that. But here's what his father didn't understand. He made a choice based on trying to follow his father's footsteps.
Right.
Because my friend, I don't know, the thuggish thing he is, he wasn't that dead with dad. His kids were with him all the time. But he showed his kids what they should have been seeing.
Okay.
Remember I talked about that before, precept and example. Our kids learn what we show them more than what we tell them.
Yep.
But what we show them is what we actually teach them. So when we start to teach our kids and show them this is not right, that is not right, then they got a better chance of making it out here.
And that's your testimony of the way you live your life.
Right.
You know, and anybody can say whatever, but you know the way you live your life, because you know, people are watching.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching. I remember this the story about this this postman and died and went to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when he got up there, he seen all this people, you know, people that was on this route, a whole bunch of people, them people was up there in heaven, and he's like, wow, well, you know, and I guess, I don't know, forgot the story word for word, but basically, those are people who he had been in contact with every day, delivering mail, and they had gained inspiration from watching how he carried himself and everything, and a lot of them got saved and, you know, became better from watching his life and, you know, following his example, and because of what they seen in him, they made a change, and they made it into the gates, you know?
No. The white man got a song, we may never know. And it's all, we may never know all the lives we reach, all the people we reach. We never know who we influence, but we got to keep living that life. And I'll tell you, the thing that really touched my heart one day, because, mm-hmm. you know, people that knew me, they knew me, you know?
Okay.
And when I got saved, and I started talking about it, you know, I had a one female that lives across the street. She was a friend. We never ever even looked at each other as a date. And I was always looking at her sister that way. But she was a little bit younger than us, but we were all in the same age group. And I was talking to her about it and say she was always saying smart remarks about it like that. But she was noticing my life was different. I wasn't with the guys anymore.
Okay.
I was getting up, I was going to church, I was doing a different thing, mm-hmm. and I'm witnessing to her. So one day, I'm in the store. I don't know how many years later this was. It had to be quite a few because I was married by then when I got say they were talking to her. I was young, but now I got kids and everything. Okay. And I ran into her, and I'm like, hey, you know, I don't want to say anybody's name. You know, I normally stupid and say one name earlier. But I was speaking to her, and she said, I'm married now. I'm living saved 20 years because of you. I'm like, she said, you just don't know. When you used to talk to me, I was listening. It's like I was talking, I would do a lot of crazy talking, mad that you, but I was listening, I was hearing what she was saying. And she was watching me. And my life was reflecting what I was saying at the time, I guess.
Okay.
She said, it made her want to do that. She's like, so, is this, what? You know, and then I looked up and, you know, she said, so I started going to church and all that, and I got saved. I'm married, been married after how many years, so that, I tell you, it had been over 10 years since I had talked to her singer.
Okay.
Because she had been married with kids for a few years, and I hadn't seen her a few years before that. But she was happy, and she was in the sanctified church and everything.
Okay.
And you just don't know. I didn't feel that, yeah, I'm the man thing, whatever. But I felt a sense of, I don't know, comfort, but I was just happy that my life was used by God to influence somebody else's life.
Okay.
At that point, you know, it's not you. It's God. It's the God in you.
Right.
And that's what, because Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why do you light a light? Why would you light the candle and put it under the bushel? It's giving no light. You have to let your light shine for others to see. Because when they see you, they see God in you. And it draws them to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me.
And I like that.
Yeah. And he was talking about when he lifted him up on that cross, I'm going to draw everybody into me.
And I like that. Where he's talking about, you know, one plant to see somebody else, they come by and water it, God give the increase. So sometimes, you know, sometimes you may never know a certain person who you've affected.
Right.
You may never know. But, you know, it may be stemming from what something you said, and maybe later on in life somebody else water it, or God finally bring it to fruition in their life later on, and you may never be around to see it, but still, that's an impact you had on somebody's life.
That was Paul something, and that was dealing with the church people. They were debating over who was this and who was that.
Right.
And one said, I'm a Paul, one I'm a Silas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but it doesn't matter who you, he said, because one plant, another water, but it's God that get an increase.
That's right.
No matter who you, it's still got to come from God. And Paul told him also, follow me as I follow Christ. If I get out of line, don't follow me no more.
Okay.
So me and this other person that you come back, that's what we both following Christ. So y'all not really following us, y'all following Christ. Stop trying to give us the credit. Because one of us planted, the other rewarded, but God gave the increase.
And so, now, we're going to bring it back to what we was originally talking about.
Yeah, because we got a little off track, but all of that kind of...
Oh, all that ties
in. Winds back into... love and forgiveness.
So let's just tell people now, I guess just one more time, the importance of having closure with a certain situation. It don't have to be romantic, but maybe you haven't had a fallout with someone, a friend or whatever. Just having, sister, getting that closure, so you don't have, you're not holding that junk in your heart. You know, so just talk to them about the importance of having, getting that closure.
Yeah, the importance of having that closure. For one, love has to be in your heart. If you don't have love, you don't have God, because God is love. Love, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we got to have love in us. And then it says forgiveness. Now, Jesus told us, if we don't forgive one another, he can't forgive us. When all his apostles asked him how many times should I forgive my brother, he gave a low number. Jesus told him in a sense, you just keep forgiving.
Right.
The thing about it is with love, it opens your heart to forgiveness. And when you forgive, you don't carry the weight of whatever it is that was done to you or who done it to you along with you throughout your life. Because if you don't forgive, you carry that weight. And it's going to affect your life in every part of your life. You'll never understand why, no matter what happens in your life, I can't be happy. I can make $10 million and not be happy and never find love. Because whatever that is that hurt me, that I didn't forgive, that I didn't let my heart open heart to love and let go, I've held on to it. And I'm going against Jesus' word. He said, by this men will know that you're my disciple, that you have love for one for another. If we don't have love, it's hard to forgive. Love has to be in your heart. Forgiveness has to be something that you do. And forgiveness is more for you than for the person that you're giving it to.
Okay.
Because, like I said, better give than to receive. Mm-hmm. Receiving your forgiveness, that's good. I accept it. That's fine. But that works for you. Because it lets you empty that baggage, empty that weight that you would have been carrying into your life. So when I'm giving forgiveness, when I give you my forgiveness, that allows me to get rid of a weight that won't be following me throughout my life and affecting my life. Because not only does it affect your life and things that you want to do in life, it also affects your health, because that's a stress barrier right there.
Right.
Because you're still holding on to something. You're still angry for something that is over. It's done. It's not coming back. You can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Let God have it.
There you go. Remember what the doctor told me when I was seeing the doctor? Remember, he said a lot of that adds on the high blood pressure as well. When you got stress and all that other kind of stuff, that adds to them numbers as well.
Yeah.
So, man, thank you for blessing us with some knowledge on this topic.
Well, thank God for that, because some things I go through and I deal with and talk about, some things just, if God don't give me the words for it, I don't know what to tell myself at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so I thank God for, you know, giving revelation to a lot of things.
I do have to say something, though, man. You was one of them, one thing about you. You one of them kind of brothers that seem like it would be hard for me to see you having that, because you got such a good heart, holding grudges with anyone. Because this thing seemed to kind of roll off you pretty easy. And I think that's a blessing. You know, you're not all tied up in rage and, just, I don't know. You just seem to, things seem to roll off you a little easier. And I think that, you know, that's a blessing. That's a gift from God.
And you know what? I said that myself before. I said, I thank God for something, because I don't think I've ever, I can't say that because I did have it at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought in my life, I never had a capacity to hate. I don't mind hate. It just won't come out of me to hate.
Right.
My wife used to wonder about something. I'm like, because I don't know, I just don't hold on to it. I can't even stay mad. We have an argument, I walk out, when I'm back, I'm not mad anymore. You know, I just, stuff. I started getting gray hair because I had daughters.
Okay.
Because every time a boy.
Beautiful daughters, man.
Every time a boy say hello, I'm like, okay, you go in the house and walk on home.
Right.
My daughter used to ask me why I would let my son date before I would let them date. I said, come sweetheart, any boy you date is my problem. I said, any girl he date, he that man's problem.
Right.
He the father's problem. So.
Right.
So, yeah. But, you know, it's just, the girls understand. You're more protective of your girls, because your boys, you knock them about, you roughhouse with them. You don't worry about them as much.
Okay.
And girl, and you ain't worried about no girl taking your son and forcing anything on him.
Right.
Because chances are she ain't got to. But you worry about some boy doing that to your girl. You worry about your girls, you know, because, I don't know, you treat him. I pick my son up, flip him, and drop him on his head. I couldn't do that to my girls. They're delicate, you know. My son fall, I look at him, I say, all right, get up. I tell him, wiggle your feet, I say, ain't nothing broke, go play. My girls fall, I jump up and go pick them up. It was a difference there, you know. So, yeah.
Yes,
it's a difference. So the little girls gave you the gray hairs. But yeah, I'd say within my life, two people that I felt like I hated and I had to get rid of from that.
I probably know one of them.
Yeah, you know. But the doctor, when my mother died, I knew the doctor didn't know what he was doing, but he wouldn't allow her to get the help she needed.
Mm-hmm.
That day, if I had saw that doctor, they'd have been laying next to each other no more. But by the time I calmed down, I had forgiven him. I just was hurt. But we're gonna be wrapping this up. I kind of enjoyed this topic because it opened a lot of doors to a lot of other things, and you know, it's a lovely thing to be able to talk about things and bring current events into it. So, well, we thank you, and we thank you, Lord, and we love you. And we ask that you let this touch someone, give them the strength that they need, and get them where they need to be in life. Mm. Get them to let go of things that have hurt them, and forgive those that have brought that hurt in their lives, and let them to move on with their lives. Lord, we give you praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We love you. Enjoy being on here to talk to you. And before long, we're going to have it where you can call in and we can have discussions together. When that happens, we'll let you know. Especially Roy here in Washington, he will be letting you know when you get that up and running. Don't know when, but it's coming. And we believe in God for it.
You've been locked into the quest. God bless. I've got to be
grudges are for those who insist that they are owed something. Forgiveness, however, is for those who are substantial enough to move on. Chris Jamie. I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath. My wrath did end. I was angry with my foe. I told it not. My wrath did grow. William Blake. The first reaction is surely the most natural one, but not always the most correct one. Thereupon, the invention of apologies. Chris Jamie. Thank God for those thoughts of inspiration from those great writers. Enjoyed the show today. Life is too short to be dwelling on grudges, and sometimes it's little stuff. And when you really look at it, sometimes it's little stuff. Sometimes you ask that person, "What did they do to you?" They can't even tell you. Or something so crazy and so small. It's like, you know, really, we spent years not speaking or, you know, whatever, over that. We could have been building empires. We could have been having business and making waves, climbing mountains, conquering, but over some small stuff, we're stalled and defeated. We gotta stick together, y'all. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Get upset. There's nothing wrong with being the bigger person. And saying, hey, you know what? Let's squash this. You know what I'm saying? We got legacies to build. Thank you for being with us today. It's Roy Washington. You have been locked into the quest. Until next time, continue to love each other, continue to grow, stay in your lane, master your lane, and just love each other with the love of God, y'all. Peace, I'm out.